and welcome back to the Research VR Podcast, everyone. The podcast behind the science and design of virtual reality. I'm your host, Oz Balabanian, and with me today is guest Jan Split Ilaski, who is the main guy behind Beat Saber at Hyperbolic Magnetism. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
And beaming in from Germany, Peter Luckoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this great, great episode.
Yes, yes, yes. This is an episode that we've been trying to do for some time. We've talked about Beat Saber on the podcast, and some of our listeners have also voiced in their opinion about it. And I think it's an interesting time that we've been doing this podcast for the past 2 to 3 years, and really been covering, you know, what are the design elements that people can pull from neuroscience to create better experiences in VR. And I think we can happily say that Beat Saber has been the perfect storm of a lot of these elements put together. And so today we're here to talk to you, Jan, about what are these interesting elements that you somehow have been able to hark together and put together. Perhaps let's start with a little bit of background. I can tell this is not your first game. Hyperbolic Magnetism has been around for a few years. You guys have actually won some awards. I was looking through your website, and you guys have won some Apple awards.
There are a few of them.
Can you name them?
Yeah, like the biggest one is the Apple Design Award, actually, and there are some like Indiecade selection, best gameplay on some conferences, best of App Store, some local prizes like winners of App Parade, best mobile game of the year in Czech Republic, and some more.
Right, and you guys were primarily making, I believe, mobile games.
Yes, in the past few years, we were doing mainly mobile games. But our background is like we started a long time ago. Actually, my colleague and co-founder Vladimir, we have been going to the grammar school together. Like when we were 8, we started doing some experiments on computers. So we are together like for 25 years already.
Nice. No, those are always the best relationships to work with people that you know very, very well and build on top of each other's strengths and weaknesses. Mm.
But where does your fascination came from for computers, mobile phones, games?
I don't know. Actually, when we were growing, it was just the beginning of the PC era. So you know, we have the my first computer was the Pentium, but my colleague, he has the ZX Spectrum, the really old computer. So I don't know. I just like programming stuff. So that's how it happened.
And was game design the passion that you wanted to pursue?
When first time when I saw the computer, I was like, okay, I want to make games. But later I found out it's really hard and there's a lot of competition in there. So I never thought I could do it professionally. I wanted to be a music producer, actually. So I steered my career to that. But after I finished the school, actually, I studied computer science, computer graphics, programming. But when I finished the school, I realized that being a music producer is really hard. No. And I wasn't the best producer in the world, so it would be even harder. So let's maybe try to go back to the roots and start making games.
And then you figured out VR is a new realm, not much competition. You have great skills you can toss in. And no one knows what he's doing. Let's make the most hottest game right now on the planet.
Definitely.
Because that's typically how it works, right? It's like, I want to make the best, and then the best happens.
No, that's not how it's working. No. Okay.
Actually, can you tell us a little bit about, some of your, how you got into VR and how recent is it, or have you been around for some time experimenting with different game ideas, and until you've kind of landed on the elements that make up Beat Saber?
Actually, this is really funny because I didn't start with all these development kits of Oculus. I was just waiting till it's good enough to really do something with, like really play games and stuff. So when the original HTC Vive came out, I bought it and was looking forward to play some games. So I installed Audio Shield, Space Pirate Trainer, and all these like must-have games. And I didn't want to make a VR game because I thought, okay, market is small. I don't have any ideas for that. So let's just play some games and enjoy the VR. But then suddenly the idea with the cutting rhythm game came to my mind. So I made a prototype in 2 hours and I was like, okay, this might work. So we started working on the game.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I guess so that was obviously like that's one half of Beat Saber is the mechanic of slicing through the what do you call them? The beats that are coming at you rather than punching them, which we've seen, you know, happen with a few different titles. Were rhythm games a big part of the games that you like to play?
Yes, actually, because I'm from the music background, I always loved music games. I didn't play many of them, but I really enjoyed the experience, especially the Thumper on PlayStation. I played it a lot. This was really Thumper, strong influence. Right. Yeah.
That was, I think that won some Game of the Year awards, I believe.
Maybe. I think they won a lot of awards. Because, you know, the music is great. It looks very different from other games and it's in the game. It's a perfect combination of everything. So really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I think it always ends up having to be the right combination of like having actual good music along with good feeling game design. And so perhaps let's go a little bit into that. I have my theories as to why I think Beat Saber feels really good and why I consider it to be one of the more immersive experiences that you can play in VR. And it has to do with essentially overloading your cognitive load, both visually, both auditorily, and also like spatially and through the moments that you're having to make are very, very constrained. You know, the amount of things you have to be thinking about all at the same time to be doing that, at least, you know, not for a non-expert. And even at that expert level, you get into a very much of a flow state. Let's talk a little bit about these elements and perhaps were they part of your design or were they kind of like byproducts of creating something and iterating on top of that idea and realizing that, yes, this is something that's working as good as I hoped it to work.
I think it's really simple. Like my initial idea is always to have a really simple element in the game. For example, here is a cutting of some cubes on the rhythm, and then make it as perfect as possible. So we just have a cube, then we have a cutting. So how can we make it more powerful? How can we let people enjoy that? So we are looking for the particle effects. We have to split the cube in the half exactly at the point where you're cutting. We need to support it with sound effects. And then you spend a lot of time trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. Usually we remove more stuff than we add. So that's the basic stuff which always happens. So in the Beat Saber, we tried many, many things, many new approaches. Some people suggest, let's do this, let's do that. And we are telling them we already tried it and it doesn't work because of some reasons.
There is also a blog post that you wrote, right, about all the different mechanics, how you cut the cubes and what actually happens. I was actually surprised when I first time saw it because I didn't expect such a complexity of different points that you get for different slicing, right?
I wrote a video. I made a video. Actually, it was a blog post. It was a video. Yeah. This was actually the biggest problem: how to compute the score for the players, how to give them some points, because normally in normal rhythm games you just have some like timing precision, but it's super hard to do it in VR, especially if you have swords or sabers, because you don't know if you should. Compute the time when you start cutting the cube, or are you in the middle, or it's hard. And also in Beat Saber, you actually can't be totally off the rhythm because in the beginning, the cube is too far away and then it's behind you. So you actually have to do it somehow in the time, in the right time. So this didn't work out. Actually, I tried to do the same stuff, writing like perfect, awesome for like really good timing and good, bad for worse timing. And I was playing it, and it felt random. It wasn't like, I even on simple levels, I couldn't be like always perfect. I was like, okay, this is weird. This won't work, because if you are a musician, you should be always perfect in the simple level, or at least like better than average.
Right.
And it didn't work out. So we were looking for different ways how to do it. And another approach was, okay, let's force players to be like really aligned with the arrows, perfectly straight. And the players start to play like robots, you know, moving like straight lines. And it looked weird. This wasn't good enough. So the main goal was to people feel free while playing it, and giving them good core for doing something else. And this is the solution we came up with.
So would you say that because what you just described, the dynamics that you managed to create in your game, the viral effect of Beat Saber basically was born because people combine mixed reality with, basically the game. And to be honest, since a few months, I haven't been seeing so much mixed reality content being done by, you know, a lot of streamers, a lot of gamers. But then Beat Saber came and suddenly everyone was again in mixed reality, cutting stuff around, and was like super awesome. And everyone was doing different techniques and everyone was cutting it somehow differently and definitely not behaving this robot way. So maybe comparing it to Audio Shield, I was just testing the green screen behind me that I'm right now sitting in. And yeah, it's kind of very robot-like movement. You're moving and you're doing some stuff, but you're not doing very interesting, fancy movements.
Have you ever seen Kent Bai playing Audio Shield?
No.
Oh, man. If you think people in Audio Shield are like robots, you should watch Kent Bai, actually, in there. I have a great video of him dancing to, it was a Taylor Swift song. It's pretty amazing, dude. That guy is a natural-born dancer, and you'll see him go ham.
Have you seen him playing Beat Saber?
I think I've seen a clip of him. No, I need to see it in person.
Yeah, because I met him on GTC and he played Beat Saber there and it was really, really nice.
I bet you're his hero now, because like anyone that creates flow state inducing rhythm games is like one of his favorite developers. But yeah, I guess that's a topic we can go into a little bit as well in terms of how important user-generated content ends up becoming for the health of a game, for the health of not only, you know, the sales of the game, but actually the community that it builds, the consumers, and then the creators within those consumers.
It's long-term fun and the sustainability.
The modding community, right? Like PC games have so much benefited from mods for games, and so few games still right now encourage that type of behavior. Jan, perhaps you can talk a little bit about like some of your philosophy behind that. When you launched the game, you know, you had very curated, very, very good songs to begin with. But I'm guessing this was part of the plan, is to add the ability for people to add their songs and create the customized tracks for them.
Yeah, like our first intention was to make really good songs and nice levels. Yeah, so from the beginning, we wanted to make really good songs and good levels to show people how the game should look like. And then maybe in the future, let them create new levels in our own editor. And we want to make a deal with some streaming service, so it's all legal and everything's okay. But right after the beginning of releasing the Beat Saber, people starting to create mods and they made their own level editor, which is really awesome. You know, they put a lot of stuff there. They actually programmed things so we thought it would take months for us to do. So that's really amazing stuff. The slight problem is there, the music which they are using is not legal actually. So you should buy it. You should buy it if you are playing.
So how does it work? So I mean, obviously, copyright and music licensing issues are something that prevents a lot of startups from, you know, having great access. And how did you solve it in a way? How did you shield yourself from being, I don't know, attacked by those labels? Or maybe they love
like
you.
Doesn't sound like actually, they have, right?
Right now we don't support any of that stuff actually in the game. So everything, if you want to play different songs in the Beat Saber, you have to actually break our end user license agreement and mod the game. And actually that's legal too. So basically when we are playing those levels, you are breaking our end user license agreement. And you are also, if you don't buy that MP3, that song, you are breaking copyright law. But actually, we don't mind if you mod our game. Sure. We won't sue anyone, so that's because that's actually good stuff. But if you want to play those songs, you should buy them legally. Mm-hmm. I don't know, on iTunes or anywhere where you can buy them, and then you can download the level and play them. This is like how you should do it.
I see. But shouldn't it be in the interest of the music industry to somehow give you a way to have such content?
Sure.
Because it's also promoting those songs?
Yes. That's what we think too. So we are working on that. We would love to, as I said, we would love to integrate some kind of streaming service like, I don't know, Apple Music, Spotify, or even YouTube. I don't know yet. So we are talking to that people. And if the modding community or just our community can make levels on Spotify song, so
it would be awesome.
For all the song, that would be awesome. And everything will be legal. Everyone will be happy. And that's how we would like to do that in the future.
Yeah. It would be awesome if, you know, you could also integrate podcasts and then be slicing through the podcast.
Yeah, sure. That would be awesome.
And then the cubes are literally the face of Azad and me being photogrammetry scanned and to slice through them. I have a question. Also, maybe going slightly backward, maybe going slightly, on a meta level. How long did it take to develop the game? So since how long are you developing it, and how do you managing the iterations? I guess you're doing it sprint based, right?
Or it's almost sprint based, but we started about 1.5 years ago.
Whoa.
Or maybe almost 2 years, no, 1.5 years ago, I would say. And it was just two of us, me and Vladimir, and first there was just a prototype, then we started to look for different stuff, and in January last year, we actually stopped working on Beat Saber because we thought it's not good enough. We had some design problems. We were not sure how to figure them out, so we just stopped working on Beat Saber for 4 months. We were working on different game, mobile game, but then we showcased the game on a local event for VR developers just for fun. So we bring the game there, and a lot of people really enjoy that. So we thought, okay, maybe we can even force ourselves to find a way how to push this forward and make and start selling it. So we just pushed ourselves and found a way how to solve all those problems, and here's the game after 1.5 years. So I would say it's one year of development of two people, and then there's a music from Yaroslav.
Sure. But the landscape of mobile development is usually not easy to finance, right? How did you manage to survive those 1.5 years? Is there any support or?
Our previous game, Chameleon Run, was pretty successful, selling almost 500,000 copies,
wow,
which is super rare for paid games right now on mobile. So we are quite okay for a few more years, even if the Beat Saber like flops, but it didn't. So it's okay now.
So that's interesting. I mean, you guys seem to be, I would say, serial indie game developers that have sustaining apps and games that are out there. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what you've learned, perhaps are there certain things that you were able to apply from the mobile game development scene and understanding what something worked in that environment? Because to me, it sounds like it's such a different market, such a different approach to a game, because for a mobile game, you can jump in and jump out so quickly. Perhaps maybe that's an element that you were thinking about for Beat Saber?
Maybe in Beat Saber you can do the same thing, but the VR headset is a kind of problem. But when we think about making games, it's let's make them as perfect as possible for what we can do. So it's just two of us, so we can make AA graphics or I don't know, a lot of textures and models and all that stuff. So we have to focus on simple things and make them perfect. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our philosophy. If you look for our previous game, the Chameleon Run,
yes,
which won that Apple Design Award, it's basically the graphics are really similar. There are just some cubes and rectangles, and everything is really simple, but there's a lot of effects and some kind of that flow state is there too. So
yes,
maybe the philosophy is this, like, let's make it a simple game, but let's make it look like it's really polished a lot and it looks great, even though there's not that many assets there.
And that already puts you on top of, let's say, like 80% of what's out there, right? Both in the mobile game scene and even in the VR scene. If you have something that's visually consistent, that seems and looks polished for, you know, two developers, then that enough, it that kind of puts you on top of everything else that's just like very basic textured.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of textures, so there was on Kickstarter, I think a few weeks ago, this project called Ant something, like this augmented reality headset. And I think what they did and what you can do there is basically it supports Steam games. And when you have like a black background, you can literally use their augmented reality headset and play it. And I think I also saw a video or a GIF or GIF from Nolo. It's like this super basic HTC Vive clone for smartphone. Works great. And I think they also had like a Beat Saber working with it because they also support Steam. How much aware are you of, you know, those different companies basically hacking together Beat Saber to work in augmented reality or in different other devices?
Oh, I didn't know about it.
not to mention, I saw a clone in VR chat, actually, I think in a VR club and VR chat.
Yeah, actually, I'm in contact with the guy who made the clone for VR chat, and he agreed to remove it from there. So, yeah, he's really nice. He actually understands how we feel about it. We would like to put something in the VR chat officially, so maybe we'll just work together with him to bring something there, which would be awesome. It's just like the quality of the VR chat Beat Saber is really different, and if you are building a brand or you just have to, you want to make some kind of experience, so you don't want to like release some kind of second gear product. I'm not sure how to describe it.
But I mean, how open are you to you know, your game being used with you know, augmented reality headsets, or even at some point with a, I don't know, Oculus Go or whatever, which is not necessarily giving as much opportunity to move around?
We would love to have it on all augmented reality headsets, which would support some kind of controllers which would allow you to play the game. So this is, I think, after we release on all platforms available right now, which supports 6 degrees of freedom controllers and headset, then we will go to the augmented reality headsets. And then maybe, if it's soon enough, we can do Oculus Go and all that stuff. But maybe if it's already the 2019 since then, so there will be many more 6 degrees of freedom controllers and headsets. So I'm not sure if we can do it. Sure. But actually, it's just two of us right now. We hired some people, so it's more people right now. But even though we are working hard, we are not able to put it on all platforms at the same time. Yeah, we want to put a lot of updates and music to the original Beat Saber and a lot of more stuff. And we are working on many things at the same time.
Let's talk a little bit about music. Yaroslav Beck is the composer behind the original soundtrack that you guys released with. He was also a composer behind a lot of Blizzard Activision's music. I believe he's worked on, what are some of the titles he's worked on, Jan?
I think he worked a lot of trailers from how we call that game.
I think he was also a composer behind some of the music for Lawbreakers. So he clearly has kind of a wide variety of genres he's worked on. And I think he's brought his A game to this. And honestly, like the quality of tracks that he produced, I think was enough. When I met him at GDC, I told him, like, dude, I think these songs are going to become pretty popular outside of the game, you know, outside of everything. And clearly with the, you know, release of the soundtrack on Spotify and whatnot, I think there's a lot of potential for that. I mean, how much of that does that factor into the success of Beat Saber is actually the songs that you're playing being really good and catchy.
Yeah, it's obviously super hard to tell, but I think the music helped us a lot because before we started work with Yaroslav, I did some music for the game. We actually had only one level, and the feedback was still great for the game. But when we released the trailer, it didn't went viral, so it wasn't as good as Yaroslav's stuff. But actually, the trailer our first trailer we released helped us to bring Yaroslav on board. Because he was the only guy I was thinking to ask to help us with the music. But when we released the trailer, he actually called me the day before I wanted to call him. So that was really awesome. So he called me, we met, he said, okay, let's do some stuff together. And I was like, yeah, of course, let's do that. So now he's in.
Nice. It seemed, and this is within the Czech kind of game design group scene?
Actually, he lives in LA right now. So, but he is a real patriot. So he's trying to... Yeah, he's trying to support local guys. This is his vision. Like, let's support local guys, even if I'm doing the stuff for Blizzard and all that big stuff. Let's do something with indies. And actually, right now, he's not just our sound composer or music composer and sound designer. He actually joined our company, and he's part of the company right now. So he's just moving forward to the indie stuff from AAA.
Going from the huge companies down to a smaller team, which I'm sure is a nice change.
I sent you a link right now, actually, to the GIF from this augmented reality headset. Just have a look at it. And I will also send you a link to Nolum is using your game, actually. I found it.
Are you seeing it, Jan?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. Okay, I see.
I know. If you scroll on here on this page, I think it's pretty hilarious. They even added some glitchy effect. You literally scroll down that page. There is like a post from 18 May where they're like saying, trying out a new game, guess on the type of it. And when you turn on the sound, I think it is pretty clear what they're doing because they're using your music. Just looking forward to how you react to it.
Oh, I see. Interesting. But he's moving a little bit differently. It doesn't look like Beat Saber.
Yeah, I think it is, right?
Yeah, I think it isn't the Beat Saber. It looks different, right?
Is it?
He's like, I think he's. I'm not sure, but his right hand is very weird. I've never seen someone playing Beat Saber like this. But
okay, then maybe
it's just inspired. I don't know.
Okay, I see.
Let's call it that. Let's call it an artistic rendition and inspiration on top.
Yeah, actually, you know what's really funny? There's a game about cutting stuff and it's a rhythm game. It's called Beat Ninja, and it was released even before the Beat Saber.
No way!
Yeah, yeah. Really? Even like very, very, very like almost 1 year before Beat Saber. So. Wow. And we figure out the game exists because we were looking for the name of the game. So we were like, okay, let's call it, I don't know, Beat Ninja. So we searched for Beat Ninja, and there's a Beat Ninja on Steam, and it's about cutting.
But it looks way less polished than your game, right?
Yes, it looks way better.
It's more like a tech demo.
Completely different. Yeah, yeah, definitely. But, you know, that's things which are really important. We know that it doesn't matter if someone copies your idea, it's the execution which sells. So even if someone says, okay, you copied his idea, well, we didn't because we had a prototype really long before that.
Sure.
Yeah, but the idea is not so important.
When we speak about games like yours, which clearly are going viral and a lot of people suddenly, you know, do the mixed reality videos again and are super interested in VR, how important would you see those titles like yours and also many others that, you know, basically show the potential of virtual reality to the success of the whole industry from perspective of gaming? So, I mean, your game must have, you know, led a lot of people to actually buy a headset, right?
I hope so. Yeah, I think like the hardware never sells if you don't have good software on it. So the software sells the hardware. So it's natural that we feel like, okay, we might have made something which can sell some devices. I'm not sure how big impact this can have because the headsets are still pretty expensive for most of the people. But I already heard about, like, I could say tens of people who bought the headsets just for the game.
I mean, you have 2,300 reviews on Steam, and I see also you support mixed reality, which is technically not that expensive. So developing for the controllers from the mixed reality headsets compared to the HTC or Oculus Vive, are there any limitations? So I remember when we had Sprint Vector, they told us that for the mixed reality headsets, they had slightly different dynamics for one of their games because the controllers are not as good. Is it similar for you, or...?
You mean the Windows mixed reality headset, yeah? That's interesting. We actually didn't change the game at all for mixed reality, Windows mixed reality headset. I tried that. Oh, they sent us the development kit for Acer, I think. So I tested the game, and it worked really well. I was expecting that there will be a lot of problems when you cut down and you leave your head behind your back. Actually, you always move, so at some point you come back. So it's not a big deal. It works. It's really playable on a Windows mixed reality headset. I like to play it on that headset. It's great that you can bring it anywhere because you don't need the tracking stuff and all those cables, and it's much easier. And I would say it's not as good as on HTC Vive, definitely, but it's good enough, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also the best case scenario for the tracking in terms of all the interactions are happening within, you know, the sphere in front of you. And perhaps it's only the bigger motions that you'd make, you know, if you're getting all fancy with your motions, that's when you could really be pushing the tracking. But that works out really well. And I do want to comment to this part of the accessibility of this game, I think, is also a big part to its success, that especially the early Rift title, the early Vive titles compared to the early Rift titles, everyone was debating each other. Oh, this is a seated experience versus this is a room scale experience. Beat Saber doesn't really care. I think it's a standing experience that doesn't really need that much room. You could play perhaps even seated if you want to, but it works just as well on a Rift. It'll work just as well on a Vive. It'll also work probably just as well on a PSVR if that's coming down the road. I mean, it's a big part of game design. Like, how do you could design something so that it can be experienced by as many people on as many devices? And even though we're seeing so many things happening in VR in the hardware space, I still see fragmentations of experience and input kind of being splinters within the community. So perhaps, you know, thinking of a very simple element and trying to deploy it across as many platforms as possible is like a good thing to do, right? It worked for Rec Room. Maybe it'll work for others.
Yeah, maybe. I actually think... There's one important thing when we designed the Beat Saber, is how the idea came to my mind was like, okay, this is the VR we have right now. It's not the VR from the future. It's not the wireless VR or anything. We have controllers. They are precise as they are. We have these headsets which have cable, and you know you can't move too much. So what kind of game could work for this kind of headset? You know, in the future. The Beat Saber might not be the perfect game for that. We can move forward. We can have cubes coming at you from different directions because you can move freely and all that stuff. But with all these limitations, the Beat Saber was the perfect match, I would say.
So designing within the constraints,
Sure. It's much easier to design with the constraints as if someone tells you, okay, this is the perfect thing, you can do anything on that, you don't have any performance problems. Actually, also the performance problems, like we couldn't do many like special effects there, we couldn't do too much geometry and all that stuff. All these constraints helped us to shape the game to how it looks right now.
Right. And I think across, you know, the different games that you guys have developed, there is a consistent visual style that comes across. And I think that that's an important element to a game studio, yeah. I would think.
I call that visual style. I can draw a cube in Blender and that's it.
Wow, that's
No, I can do something more, but you know,
I'm thinking more in terms of color scheme and thematic elements, perhaps. Uh-huh. But you're just like, no, this is all because I want to save time and money. And
No. Actually, one more interesting thing: I'm colorblind, by the way. Mm. So
which kind?
Is that the green red colorblind? But same here. Yeah, it's very common. It's like 10% almost. But yeah. it's not so bad, so I can see some differences. But so my wife helps me with some colors sometimes. Nice. And she doesn't like red and blue too much. but yeah, it works.
No, very, especially Beat Saber is saturated neon blue reds that kind of stick and burn into your eyes and giving you that Tetris effect. Is that something that surprised you when you see GIFs and you know, posts about people talking about the Tetris effect of Beat Saber?
I've never heard about Tetris effect of the Beat Saber.
So maybe it's just a joke and people are trying to make memes, but the Tetris effect is a real phenomenon that started with Tetris, where after people played so many hours of it, they would go and walk outside world and see Tetris blocks, you know, in random things. And I remember this one GIF or this one meme sticks in my head of like the Anakin in Star Wars Episode 3 coming into the Jedi temple and then seeing the kids' heads actually as blocked is like, I want to slash through everything.
Yeah.
it's horrible, I know, but
I saw it yesterday. It's crazy.
Speaking of music, maybe, I mean, I have no idea about music whatsoever, but Azad is playing some musical instruments and is pretty good at it, and I guess I see some guitars back there in your room, so you must be also a musician. Maybe you both could elaborate more on the audio effects that people perceive through this musical experience and how you see it, actually, with a more deeper understanding of how music, you know, affects people and how it sounds.
Yeah, I'm a musician. I spent some years being a professional musician, so I'm playing all the instruments here. But for the music, I didn't do anything for the game. And also the sound effects, all the stuff is made by Yaroslav. But we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do the sound effects of the cuts when you are cutting the cubes. Especially from the technical point of view, it wasn't easy, because we wanted to have some feedback when you do it wrong, but we didn't want to allow people to play sound effects at the wrong time. So it should always feel like it's good if you are cutting good. It is also our philosophy. So let's let people play really complicated stuff and feel good. Just to make it harder, just make a really complex level. So then you feel like you are a god, you are playing really complicated stuff. Mm. We are helping you a little bit here and there, you know. Mm. There are some like, I would say, cheats, or, you know, we are helping you to do that. So there's the limits are not so strictly.
You mean in terms of the sound effect of the actual cutting of the block, not, and you're perhaps desyncing it or syncing it to the song and desync it from you actually cutting it through, especially if those fast sequence movements where you're going like this, and you want those to actually sound like they're on the beat so that you feel like you're doing these really well?
Yeah. The sound is always perfectly aligned with the song. And this was the hard technical decision how to do that. So, because you have to know that because the sound doesn't start when you cut the cube.
Mm.
It starts even before. So when we are moving the saber, it doesn't matter where we are moving. We are starting the sound. And then if you cut it, we continue. It's okay. Everything is great. But if you don't, then we have to mute it instantly or do the bad cut. So we switch it to something else.
Wow, that's actually a really fascinating detail that I think even if you didn't describe that, most people wouldn't realize that there is a sound to cutting the block. I think it took me a few times of playing through to realize that there is both a haptic and auditory feedback that's coming back to you. And I think that's an example of really good design, right? It's 99% invisible.
Yeah, I'm still not happy about that, like 100% happy. because for some parts of the songs the effects are a little bit maybe loud, and for some they are like really low. But it's hard to make it perfect, because in some songs, in some parts, if you are cutting a lot of stuff, you don't want to have so much sound effects. Or I'm not sure how to describe it, but it's hard to make it fit all the songs in the world. It fits most of our songs perfectly, but sometimes there are like small issues, I would say.
How does the algorithm actually is working regards creating the beats or those cubes for the song? So if I toss in and break your rules, any kind of song, so how would the algorithm decompose it?
It's not the levels are not generated; they are handmade.
Ah, okay.
So there's no algorithm for making levels. So it's just me spending hours creating all those levels.
Oh, that's why they feel so good, I guess, right?
Actually, yeah. I spend a lot of time playing them. It's like physically hard, because when you are designing the level, you usually play it like 20 or 50 times, the complete level. And especially those expert levels, I get exhausted about two rounds, you know, and then I have to have a break for 2 days, and then I can continue designing the level.
So did developing VR made you more fit? Do you feel like you lost some pounds and you're like super sporty now?
Not so much, because, you know, I finished making levels few weeks before the release of the game. And since then, I'm not doing any. I almost didn't play the game because of all the stuff we have to do. Now I'm going back, and actually tomorrow I will be designing a new song.
Nice.
New level.
I've seen a lot of questions being posted in like basically every Facebook virtual reality group. Like, how can I get custom levels? Where do I get more levels? How do I get more songs? Like, people are really asking those questions all around the place.
So, as I said, the modding community offers you the solution for that. And we will be releasing our editor. I hope we should release it. We should have released it last Friday, but there were some technical issues. And actually, the modding community is so good. We didn't want to release something which is worse than their solution.
Sure.
So I'm trying to like do some more stuff and release our editor, which will be better.
What's about creative common songs? So, I mean, there's a lot of very great catalogs with music that is basically not only royal free, but also has, in a way, you know, the creative common license. That means people could technically use it. So would this be a solution?
That might be a temporary solution till we don't figure out the Spotify or all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like for the content stuff, we have a lot of content. If there's a lot of musicians sending us tracks and producers. So if we are thinking about bringing on board some more people who can create nice levels and make deals with all those producers and release maybe more songs. Actually, the first thing we want to do is to bring really top producers on board. Like, I mean, top, like really like the world's most famous producers. Making for example, he can do it. If he's listening, if he calls,
just shoot him an email, you know.
So, well, but we are talking to some of those producers right now and trying to bring them on board. We don't want to license songs for the beginning. We would love to have custom songs, which is much more interesting for the beginning. It's maybe not so much interesting for the audience or community, but They have editor, they can make anything. But the bringing those levels could be interesting.
I'm guessing you saw the tweet that Cascade made, right? About one of the mixed reality videos that Rue had posted.
Oh, I'm not sure if I saw that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw it. It was a
custom mod of his song, and he was like, this is the most satisfying thing to watch on the internet. So there's huge potential. I mean, for any of these, you know, mainstream huge producers to be extremely interested. And I think, you know, starting now, when they start realizing that there's a market and an opportunity here to be made, I think it's a safe bet for a lot of music labels to be making moves into virtual reality rhythm games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are paving the way. We do have some questions just to wrap things up here. We have some questions from Discord. Andreas. Yes, exactly. From our Discord channel, Andreas Aronos has a couple questions, and I think we're going to pick one of them. He said, how much are you in shock and awe of how effectively the modding community has teared your game to pieces and made a homunculus? I haven't heard that before. And as in, like, how quickly they were able to, like, basically add their own mods and change the levels and editors.
Yeah, it's insane, man. They're like, I was expecting, okay, maybe in 1 month they could have some kind of editor, and then they will wait till we allow them to somehow put the levels in it. Uh-huh. And and there's just like after 2 weeks they had three editors, and all the infrastructure website for sharing all that stuff. It's like, what? Oh my god, what they are doing? Like, they have like 16,000 members on Discord for the modding community. What? Like, I was like, okay, and that's really, really a lot.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the internet. And even I'm glad to see that kind of scale happening in VR. I think that's the bigger thing to realize from this entire story of how, you know, Beat Saber and Viralata, is that there is real community, there's real interest, there is when something is wanted by the community, you know, when there's a will, there's a way, and they will work towards achieving some of those goals. So I hope that doesn't bring too much pressure on your back in terms of music licensing and copyright things, because I'm sure that's not easy to deal with. But
actually, I'm feeling a little bit under the pressure, because all the things they made, I can easily break them with the update. You know, I right now I'm working on some refactoring of the UI system. So when I release it, all those mods won't work. So
that's definitely a tough place to be. For a lot of reasons. So, mm-hmm. On that, thank you again for joining us, Jan. If people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
The best way to contact me is on Twitter, I think. Mm-hmm. So my nickname is Split82. So just ping me there. That's the best thing you can do.
Awesome. And if they want to beat your high scores, which song is your best one?
I don't know. probably 100 Bills. I need to play and like go to the top 10 or something like that. I will do that next week. Mm-hmm. So be prepared.
Nice. And thank you all for listening again once more. You can find us on Twitter at ResearchVRcast. You can find us on Facebook, but we don't really care about that platform anymore, because Facebook's gone down to hell. Find us on Discord at ResearchVRpodcast. We do a lot of the pre and post discussion of episode discussions there, and if we have a guest that we want to announce to listeners, that's where we take questions as well. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for actually helping keep this show ad-free and sponsor-free. And thank you all for, again, listening. And thank you, Jan, for joining us again. This has been a fun conversation.
Thank you for having me. It was all the fun.
Yay.
See you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Yeah.